Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, I want to go over with us exactly what's going on in our feast day today. This is the feast of all the saints, not just the saints that each one of you are dressed as, but actually very common day saints. That's really what we're celebrating today. So I want to tell you about one, about a situation that happened a long time ago, back in the early part of the last century. You see, in Russia, Christianity was outlawed. It was on the run because the communists wanted to destroy Christianity and all religion. What did Marx, their great thinker, used to say? He said that religion is the opiate or drug of the masses. And so he sought to eradicate it completely. And because of that, he went after especially priests to destroy them. Now there was a young man who had, a little boy who had been orphaned. His mother and father had died. And what was going on there is that he was then given to his grandmother to have her care for him. But she worked for her uncle, who happened to be a priest, caring for him, making sure the house chores were taken care of so that he could go off and minister as a priest. Well, as they were ministering, this is the time when they were rounding up the priests there in all over Russia. And they seized him, the secret police, and whisked him away. He never returned. They never saw him again. A week later, what happened is that they came for his things because they said they had to find things, his writings, everything, his books, so that they could accuse him of being a Christian and thereby lock him up forever. You can imagine it must not be a difficult task to accuse a priest of being a Christian, right? But so they sought. And they went meticulously throughout the house time and time again to gather up all the religious articles, all the symbols of faith of Christianity that they could to eradicate them, to blot them out. They wanted to blot the name of Jesus out of the minds of the Russian people. When they finally came at the end, the mean officer came up to this old grandmother and said to her, "Are there any more symbols of your Christian faith for us to round up?" And after looking at him sternly for a moment, she said, "There's one, but you can't take it from me." And he looked at her to say, "I'm much stronger than you. Of course I can take it from you. Show me it." And what the old woman did was this. She made the sign of the cross. And making the sign of the cross, as her young grandson was there watching her, he said, "This is the moment that I realized that I had a desire to become a priest. Later on, to become a secret bishop, to minister in that land where God was not welcome." Brothers and sisters, this woman who made that stand of faith in the midst of somebody who easily could have broken her and destroyed her life, inspired this young man to become a priest and eventually to become a bishop to minister in secret so that God and his name would not be forgotten among his people. That's the kind of saints that we're really celebrating today. All those saints that you all are wearing, yes, but especially those saints who nobody will ever know because they will never be canonized. We can think of them, maybe our own grandmothers. I can think of my own grandmother. Maybe some of the friends or people who you've ministered to or spent time with who are true saints. But they're never going to have statues built in their honor. Those are the ones who we celebrate today. And that's what our Lord is calling us to reflect upon. Because each and every one of us is called to be a saint. Not just to dress like a saint, as many of you are today, but to be an actual saint. And the Lord is inviting us to say, "Will you cooperate with me and let me construct you into being a saint? To being a saint for my name." He says, "Will you allow God the Father to be the great architect of building of your life to be a saint? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to be the project manager and guide to make sure you're following the plan? Will you allow Jesus Christ, the greatest carpenter that ever lived, to work alongside with you?" That's what our Lord is bringing before us today. And he's given us in our gospel the blueprint. And the blueprint is what? From Matthew chapter 5, the very beginning. How does it begin? With the Beatitudes, right? These attitudes that we take on of holiness, of showing that we are men and women of God. And so when I show you these things and break them apart for you, I want you to think of people maybe in your own lives who exemplify these very same virtues that are found here in the gospel, and see that they're ones who God has given you for inspiration to become holy men and women. What is the first one? You remember? It's, blessed are the poor in spirit. What I think of is beautiful Saint Therese. You see her there? Saint Therese of Lisieux was this woman who desired to be a great saint, just like Teresa of Avila, but she realized she wasn't strong, that she wasn't a great person, that she would never do big things. She was weak. And so what she did in her moment, she said, God, I want to be holy, but I can only do small things. And by doing so, she founded the beautiful thing of the little way, which is simply put this. Do very small things, everyday things, but with great love for God. And by doing so, she became one of the greatest saints of the church. In fact, you see her statues all over the place. And in most places, you see many young men, or rather young women, dressed as her today on this Day of All Saints. She's called the Little Flower and is attributed some of the greatest miracles of the last century, even though she died at the young age of 24. What is the next one? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. When I think of those who mourn, I think of this saint. I think of Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. You may know who she is. She's a great woman. She had many children and a very sick husband, which caused her, for illness sake, to take a trip all the way out to Italy to make sure that he would get better. But when he got there, he was quarantined and died in quarantine, never setting foot on Italian soil. And so there she was, there stranded in Italy with children and nothing to care for her. So her husband's business partners, who were Catholic, took her in, showed her the faith and especially the love for the Eucharist, and that won her over to become a Catholic. She was an Episcopalian before. When she returned home, her family excommunicated her and kicked her out of their family because of that change in faith. But being an educated woman and seeing the squalor that was around her and the dearth of education, she went to the greatest Catholic bishop in the United States, the Bishop of Baltimore. And she went to him and she said, Bishop, our children have no one to teach them. What are you going to do to make sure that our Catholic children have good instruction in the faith and in the things of the world? And the bishop turned back to her and he said, No, Elizabeth, what are you going to do about it? And she took that mission upon herself in that mourning and in that sadness that she had of being excommunicated from her family and loss of her husband, and drove that all into serving God. And she went around the entirety of the United States, founding all the first Catholic schools all throughout the U.S., founding the Order of the Sisters of Charity here in the U.S., greatest saint, the first canonized saint of the United States Church. What about the next beatitude? This is, blessed are the meek. And what we need to know about meekness, brothers and sisters, is that it is not weakness. Meekness isn't weakness, it is power which is put under control. And I think of this saint, Saint Magdalene of Kenosha. She was a beautiful saint who lived during the time of the Napoleonic Wars. So in the 1800s, the whole of Italy was devastated by this war. Many men and women lost their lives. And because of that, there were many orphans laying around. And so what happened was that this woman went up to Napoleon, the great emperor himself, got an audience with him, and she said, Napoleon, you must give me the convent which is right next to my house in Verona. Struck by her audacity, what did he do? He said, why do you need this woman? She said, because I need to care for all the orphans which have been left in the destruction of this war which has just been waged in our land. Brothers and sisters, that's boldness. That's meekness. To be able to go to the person who's responsible for all of that destruction and tell him, you needed something like that. This woman founded the Sisters, the Daughters of Charity Order, which cares for orphans not only in that small convent there, but all throughout the world, caring for those who have lost their mothers and fathers. She is a true example of meekness, which is power put under control. The next beatitude that we have here is blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Or rather, those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness. When I think of that, I think of this man right here, St. Peter. St. Peter Claver, who was a man who worked with the slaves who came to the New World from Africa. Realized that those were people who were not loved and cared for in the world. And so what he sought to do was to minister to them. As they poured forth from their ships, diseased, broken, and dying, he sought to preach to them the gospel, not like I'm doing with you today, because he didn't share the language with them. Rather, what he did was by works of kindness and of love, caring for them so that they would die well, and baptized thousands upon thousands of souls, leading them to Christ in those last moments of their lives. He's the reason why so many of the slaves became Christians. St. Peter Claver, who hungered and thirsted for righteousness when so many wanted to destroy the lives of those who were around him, and even sought to destroy his own life. The next beatitude that we have is blessed are the merciful. And when I think of the merciful, I think of this woman, Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska. You can see her here with that beautiful Divine Mercy image. Remember, she was visited by Jesus Christ for many, many years in visions, giving her this beautiful devotion which we have here. Came at a time right after World War I, and she said, Jesus told her, unless people call upon my mercy and begin to live it out, even worse wars will come. Nobody believed her. But what we know is that the 20th century was the most war-fraught century of all time because people didn't call upon God's mercy. What does it say on the very bottom of that image which we have there? Words which are put together there, what are they? Jesus, I trust in you. And by placing all our trust in Jesus, brothers and sisters, that is how we obtain mercy. By not holding on to things for ourselves, but letting God be in control. Saint Maria Faustina, the great woman who gave us the divine mercy. The next beatitude that we're supposed to take on is that of purity of heart. See here, Saint Kateri Tekawitha, the first Native American saint who was just canonized. In fact, I was in Rome for her canonization. There she was in the midst of the Algonquin tribe, there who were among them, and she herself was, again, an orphan. Her family took her in, but they mocked her because she was scarred by smallpox and was no longer beautiful, though she was a princess, and as well because she desired to live purity rather than the lasciviousness that the Indians were living at that time. And so mocking her, she stood firm for what was true and right and gave herself as a spouse of Jesus Christ, as a consecrated woman. And on her death, her beauty was vindicated. Just like St. Rose of Lima, who many of you today are dressed as, the scars which were on her face disappeared at the very time that she passed, showing her true beauty and purity of heart within. God humble or gives joy to those who have purity of heart because they can actually see His face. The next beatitude that we're supposed to have is blessed are the peacemakers. I think of this saint, Saint John Paul II. I was also at his canonization, a beautiful man, a man of our own time who died in 2005. This man here brought peace to the world. Because just as we talked about in the homily on Sunday, he brought people together through solidarity. In fact, he didn't care what religion you belonged to or what creed or what sort of beliefs you had. He called all peoples together every year to go to Assisi to pray for peace, so that peace would be visited upon our world and that people would not see one another as enemies but as brothers. This is why he is a peacemaker. And that's why he is one who you can truly call the children, a child of God. And the last beatitude that our Lord places before us is blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We see persecution all throughout the world, even today at the hands of ISIS. Martyrs every single day are being written in the book of eternal life. We can think of the Japanese martyrs who are depicted here, or the North American martyrs, or of all the great martyrs throughout the history of the church from its very beginning until present. Men and women who lovingly gave their lives for Christ, saying, I would rather love Him than deny Him, even if it costs me my life. Remember what it says in the Scriptures. What does it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world, but to lose his own soul? Brothers and sisters, today our Lord places before us many saints, and we have many saints also within our own lives. But God calls us not to just think of these ones, but rather to be inspired by their life, to think about what they've done and allow ourselves to truly become saints ourselves. That's what our Lord places before us. He says, how is it that you are going to live out sanctity within your own life? How are you going to allow God to construct the best version of yourself? Because that's what sanctity is. Our Lord places these mysteries before us today, and as we wear their garb and observe them as we go through the rest of this day, let us ask God through this Mass to make us just a little bit more like them. Through the inspiration of the saints, may we truly find an emulation of them within our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.